Last week was part two of the word from the beginning. All right. When we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about no weapon formed against you will prosper. And how God has already set everything up for your victory. All right. He's already given you the remedy to the disease. All right. Before he even formed Adam and Eve. Alrighty, we discussed last couple weeks how what it was so important what the first word of God was recorded in the Bible. The very first words, like John said, that are sheep to bar. Alrighty, the word in the beginning was the word. Alrighty, that's what John said. John is making a direct reference to Genesis 1:1. His same word, John's word says, in the beginning. That's only found again in Genesis, in the beginning. Bereshit is what John said in Hebrew. All right? John 1:1, he said, in the beginning was the word. All right? Well, you go right back to that beginning. What was that word? And, of course, we know the word is Yeshua personified. But I'm saying, what was the words out of God's mouth? What was the first recorded word that God uttered? And that was what? Let there be light. What was that teaching us? Yet God is automatically looking out for you. He's caring, God. He wants to meet your need. He sees there is lack, and he's trying to fix that lack. He's trying to come to your rescue. What is he? He's the hero.
Hallelujah.
All right? He saw you, what? In darkness. Yes. All right? And what did he say? Let there be light. Didn't express all his greatness. Oh, I am God, the creator of all things. And then I said, let there. No. The first, folks, we have to grab the first recorded words out of Yah's mouth was let there be light, meaning a need. Awesome God that he is. He could have said anything. I am the great and powerful. I this, that, and the other. No, he didn't even mention it. He didn't even say his name. That's beautiful because he's hiding himself. He's not making a big show of what he is. Just like Yeshua. Look like anybody else. Remember the people came to see Yeshua? They were like, where is this Yeshua? And he's standing right there in their face. Why? Because they're expecting some big loud person. Showing up with the clothes and all this other stuff. Looking like everybody else that's some big shot. But no. Meek and mild. Lowly. Right? Alright? Humble. Isn't it fascinating to think that God is humble? Isn't that amazing? See, God is humble? That's odd because all of these other fake gods are loud. They're big mouths, you know. They want to flex their muscles before, you know, get you into fear, you know. No, the first thing that he says is there is a need there. These people are in darkness. They are sitting in darkness under the shadow of death. And what does he say? I have to meet a need. And what did he do? The same thing he did. He shed himself. Remember Yeshua shed his blood for us? And what did he do? Remember, God is light. So what did he say? Let there be like part of me go and become light. You see that? It's amazing stuff, alright? When you just stop and pause and just do a little Selah on Yah. Just do a little Selah on his words. I always say, when God speaks, especially like the first time he does something, you know, that's different, or he speaks like openly like that for the first time, pay attention to that. Remember, he did the same thing when he did with the children of Israel. They all heard him speak when he gave his commandments. Remember? And his voice was like a shofar, a trumpet. And it's beautiful. If his voice was like a shofar then, and if his voice was like the Bible says in Revelation, his voice was like a shofar in the Revelation, his voice was like a shofar in the beginning when he spoke. And what does the shofar supposed to do? Rouse you up, wake you up, raise you from the dead. You see that? Cause you to move from one state to a higher plane. And that again, there he goes again. All right? Pauses. Selah, his word. His Holy Spirit will reveal hidden things and share things to you. He will. That's what he said. He will do. All right? And again, he shows himself as giving.
Amen. Beautiful.
But isn't that what he did? He gave of himself. Yeshua said, I am the light of the world. Next thing you know, he's saying, now you are the light of the world. Why? Because of him. Him and you. Everybody in here that's walking around with the spirit of Yeshua in you, guess what? You are the light of the world.
Mm.
And what is your job to do? You're seed of light. You're children of light. You used to be, the Bible says you used to be darkness. He said, that's what you used to be, children of darkness. Let there be light. Where? There. Where I was in darkness. We talked about it last week, how darkness represents bondage and sin and death. Every negative thing. All of that. And what did he do? He freed us from that. So he shows freedom and exodus right there. And you'll see it in a moment because we're going to look. We haven't even gotten past where he said, let there be light. All right? For the past couple of weeks. But we're going to fast forward a lot, okay? Because I do want to get to Noah real soon. All right? Because that's very important to realize what Yeshua said. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man begins to return. All right? So there are some amazing things going on with Noah. All right? And what do I say it was? This is just my just primitive observation. Is that the Torah was going to be preached before the end. Because that's what Noah did. The Bible says Noah was a preacher of what?
Righteousness.
He spoke Torah. Tried to get the people to return. But what did he do? Oh, we're not under that. No, these crazy people are crazy.
Yeah.
Building an ark. They're crazy. Let me just keep doing my thing. Well, you know what? That is another picture of traditions that can keep you in bondage. That's another thing that he freed us from when he said, let there be lights. He freed us from bondage, traditions of men that hold people. Because a lot of these practices that the church do, was what? Rooted in man-made traditions.
Amen.
Look it up. Knowledge has increased. You have the internet. You can look up where did Christmas come from? Where did Sunday worship come from? Catholics even tell you they made it up. So, some people are still stuck in darkness. Alrighty? They refuse the remedy. They refuse to hear the voice of the Lord. They refuse to accept who the Son has set free. They refuse to accept the fact that He's freed us. No, I like it here. I've had preachers tell me, I like doing this.
Mm.
They know it's not right, but they think, I like it. It's fun. It is nice and fun. But just because it's nice and fun doesn't mean, you know, it's good for you.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. You know, sin is good right at in the moment. But we know the wage of sin is what?
Death.
But it didn't feel like death when we were doing it. It felt good doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is nice. It's okay. Children of Israel with the golden calf. Hey, every part, it was a lie. Yeah, it was, man. Ooh, that was, and most people were like, well, I want to go over there. They're rocking over there. They got the signs and the sounds and all of God. Get ready to wipe them all out. Had no idea. Nope. All right? So just because a thing is lovely and beautiful doesn't mean it's good. All right? Just, you know already, because a thing feels good doesn't mean it's good for you. Reminds me of food, which is something we're going to do next week. We're going to everybody, I'll go into that near the end, all right? But sugars and all that stuff, we're going to be doing some breaks from that, all right? Those that are willing. Don't want to, don't have to. Not a commandment, not in the Bible. Except, you know, take care of your body, the temple of the Lord, all right? That part is, all right? But again, we're going to be trying to weed off some things, you know, to help these vessels that God has given us to be able to go around and walk and talk His Word, okay? So, we may start off with once a day, one day out of the week. Then it's going to turn into a week, then maybe a month, all right? But it's going to be progression over time of cutting out sugars and certain things like that, guys, all right? So we'll do it with progression, you know, day at a time as we can. You don't load everything on a person at once. We'll go more into that later, and next week you'll see what I'm talking about. All right. So continuing on here, we've gone through several different things. What I wanted to go over with you again is, if you would please turn to Colossians. Where we are going today, where I want to actually conclude today, with, like I said, I don't really do titles, but where I want to get you today is this particular title. It's called, what did I call it? The King's Glory on Display.
Mm.
Okay? The King's Glory on Display is what this might be called. Hashtag, real stars shine in darkness. Okay? The King's Glory on Display / real stars shine in darkness. Alright? Real stars shine in darkness. That's where I want to be able to get us before we go. Alright. Are we there? Colossians? Chapter 1 and verse 16. Okay. We're still talking about Bereshit, beginning, in the beginning, Genesis 1 and 1. The creator of it all. Alright. Okay, are we there?
Yeah.
Can I have a reader? Whoever would like to read, go right ahead.
For by him were all
some things, sister. Some things. All things. All things. Just the good things. Just the things that make you happy. Lovely. You telling me the bad was created by him too? Did you not know that God says he creates evil? Do you know that's in the Bible? He formed the light and he creates evil? Yeah. Don't think that all of this other stuff. Remember, what I love, what was awesome about it is that he forms light. See, you could only form something from something already there.
Yeah.
He's light. But something that's not there, you have to create.
Right.
That's why he had to create evil, because it's not in him. Alrighty. So again, I think that's Isaiah 2, I think. Alright. But anyway, not Isaiah chapter 2, but I believe it's Isaiah
T-O-O.
Okay. Okay, let's keep going here, please. Everything that is in where?
Heaven.
In the heavens, uh-huh.
And that's in earth.
And in earth.
Visible and invisible.
Things that are visible, things that are invisible.
Whether they be thrones or dominions,
mm-hmm.
or principalities,
mm-hmm.
or powers,
mm-hmm.
all things were created by him and for him.
Did you hear that? All things were what?
Created by
what?
Him.
By him, and guess what?
For him.
For his purpose.
Yeah.
You have to grab hold of that, not just read it. That's very important. Every evil thing is for God's purpose.
Yeah.
Are you grabbing hold of that? He made it. And without him, there was what? Nothing made that was made. Can you imagine every evil?
Yeah.
It has a purpose. And it's something he's going to be using. He uses it for his purpose. See, that's why I keep saying this government and all this mess that's going on, these people think they're doing it on their own. No, it's all putting you right in line. All those evangelicals that voted and wanted this and was like, no, he's all that racism and evil and wickedness and oppression, all of that, he is setting it up. Just like he set up Pharaoh. Pharaoh thought it was his own doing. No, God said, no, it's me. No, because you're going to make my will come to pass.
Mm.
All right? And so these people think that, oh, man, I'm going to make this one. No. You're being set up. Because why? It's exposing your heart. That's what I said before. This is all exposure. And that's what's going on. We're seeing all kinds of mess in people, mess in places, and wow! You know, and I don't want to go into a lot of the stuff about the church and things like that that you've been exposing. This has been coming out, you know, Catholic priests and even regular Christian pastors having these, you know, children, and you guys know what's going on. And a lot of this mess is just sickening, but it has to come to pass. All of this has to be has to come to pass. All right. So again, all things were made by him and for him. And without him, nothing made that was made. All things are for his purpose. All things. That's incredible. Because the collapse of the dollar, this economic crisis that's getting ready to come, all of this stuff, all for his purpose. It's going to be amazing times that we are living in. I wish we had a spot somewhere where folks can come. But what God does, he blesses us with that $900-something million. No, just kidding. All right.
Got a play.
All right. All right. Let's keep going. All right. Let's do just a little pickle there. All right. Let's jump to John, regular St. John, chapter 1 and verse 3. We just read what she read. All right. He made all things. All things, not some things, all things, including powers and principalities. Remember when Satan came and spoke to Yeshua trying to tempt him? He was like, all this has been given to me. He doesn't even know he's the one that gave it to you, clown. He said, well, bow down and worship me, and I'll give it to you. What? He's the one that gave it to you, you silly. It's amazing stuff, man. This is so awesome. That's what I'm saying. Satan doesn't know what he's doing. He's just doing whatever. He thinks he knows. He doesn't know. He doesn't realize what's going on. No. No. That's why the Bible even said, if they had known who Yeshua was, they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. And if Satan doesn't know, people give him so much power. You know, oh, Satan made it. No, believers, you that have the Ruach HaKodesh, Satan does not make you do anything.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Do what you do Amen. Because it's you.
Yep.
He does not have that power. You do it, that's what you are. All right? It's not him. Oh, he made me take my hand and I went over and I hit him. No, that's you. It's not you. Oh, I stole that thing. No, Satan made me do it. No. It's you. Sorry, because greater is he that's in you.
Yeah.
And that's in the world. You give in to yours. That's what he says. We resist temptation. Resist the devil and what he's going to do.
Flee.
He's not going to make you. You have power to resist. We have power to resist.
Yeah.
If you didn't have power to resist, then he could do whatever. But the scripture just said, resist him and he'll flee. So if he had power over you, then why does it tell you to resist?
True.
All right. What did I say, John? Regular St. John. Chapter 1, verse 3. Another reader, please. Anyone?
Through him, all things were made without him. All things were made.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, nothing was made that has been made.
All right. This is all talking about Mashiach. All right. All things were made through him. He's the Word doing and building whatever Abba has said. All right. Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Isn't that deep to know that he established all of these things? He made all these things. He made the Shabbat. He made the Sabbath. It's his. He set it apart. He named it. Yes, ma'am. And verse 6. We are actually in a... This is so fascinating to me because this is a time, folks. A time, alrighty? A window, alrighty, that we're in right now. The Shabbat, the seventh day of the week. This is a day that he has established. And the only day out of the 7 days that he has established that he has put a blessing onto. So we are in under a window of blessing right now.
Amen.
This is not something made up by man or an idea somebody had. Definitely not, quote, Jewish. All right? This is something that Yah has already had from the beginning. In the beginning was the word. The blessing of Shabbat was established in the beginning. Let's read that. What does that say, please?
Okay, that 1 Corinthians 8 or 1?
8 and verse 6.
Oh, okay. Yes, for us there is.
1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6.
Okay. Yes, for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came,
mm-hmm.
and for whom we live.
Mm-hmm.
And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through him, through whom all things came, and through whom we live.
All right, go back up to where it says, read that again for me. Read it again for me.
Yes. For us, there is but one God.
Watch this. Uh-huh.
The Father, from whom all things came,
uh-huh.
and for whom we live.
Stop that. I want you to just ponder that for a minute. For whom we live.
Amen.
Mm.
We live for God.
Amen.
That's why it says, you know, made by him and for him.
Lord.
For his purpose. That's what everything is. We live for God. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? So we don't live to get the big giant mansion. I don't live to outdo you. I don't live for this job. I don't live to make sure I look better than anybody else. I don't live to make sure this
is good.
I'm supposed to live
for God. That's good.
Yes. So that he can get glory out of me. Not me glorifying myself.
Yes.
I'm a millionaire. I cut people's throats to get where I am.
Mm.
I sacrifice coming to church so I can get a dollar.
Mm. Mm.
No, we're supposed to live
for God.
Yeah. That's what that word says. Is that not what it says?
That's what it says.
That's what we're supposed to, how we're supposed to be living this life. Now I can hear the devil, so I can see him in a lot of y'all ears. That's up to you. Go ahead, do your thing. All right. Again, nobody said nothing about not trying to live and do all this stuff, but your focus is God, not the dollar.
That's true.
Folks focus on the dollar.
Right.
And God. Exactly.
Yes.
And put God in the back burner.
Yeah. He should be.
All right. And that's what I'm talking about. That's not who we are.
Amen.
That's not who we're supposed to be. So if you feel a little hot right now, maybe that's the Holy Spirit trying to burn that out of you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Don't deflect it and point it at me and go, I'm mad at you. No, it's not my word, Sonny.
Doesn't it go back to Genesis, our very existence of Adam and Eve?
Ultimately, desiring what they want. You talking about those will of the flesh?
We live for God. That was his purpose in the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then what happened? Here it comes. Here comes what? Give me more.
Yes.
You see?
Yeah.
Exactly, you see? But, again, we're going to get to that teaching, too, which is called the first lie.
Mm.
All right? That teaching is called the first lie, and we're going to get into that later. Not now, later. All right. So again, we did all these. Now let's jump and get started into this, so we can wipe this board out. All right, guys. All right. Again, we talked about this. Bereshit bara Elohim et Hashem yam ba'et. Ha'aretz. What in the world is that? Well, this is the first seven words of the Bible in the Torah scroll. Alrighty? If you were reading the Torah, this is the same words, seven words that were there when Yeshua read through it in Genesis 1:1, whatever they were reading. It's seven words that make up the first verse in the Torah. Alright? The first sentence in the Torah. Alrighty? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the first seven words, and it's in Hebrew. It's seven words, not in English. Okay, you have to look at a Torah scroll. All right, there are seven words that tells the whole story. In those seven words, we get everything that can form and make everything. What do you mean? You get time, you get space, and you get matter, which is everything that causes everything to exist. All right, you can't have an earth there unless you have some place to put it.
Right.
Let there be, from what do you say? In the beginning, God created what? The heaven. There's the space. In the beginning, there's time. Ha'aretz, the earth, there's matter. Alrighty? So all the key things that scientists say, oh no, can't be, he put it in there way back then. You know, you can't make this up, guys. Alrighty? Again, that's scientific stuff. If anybody's into science, then you understand. Wow, God did do this. This is real. This is not some fantasy thing where we're sitting on a turtle. Alrighty, the whole universe is held up by a turtle. Some religions are into that. Alright, but these first seven words, God is into seven, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Seven words. One, Bereshit. Two, Bara. Three, Elohim. Four, X. The Aleph and the Tav. We're going to come back to that one that happens on the fourth word. Hashem Yom. Five, Va'et. Six, and Ha'aretz.
Seven.
Alrighty. Seven words. Let's get this. Let's look into this a little bit more. Okay. So we have seven words. The fourth word and also the sixth word are the Hebrew letters Aleph and Tav. It makes the word S. But there is no translation for that word, the Aleph and the Tav. Okay? There is no translation for that word. A lot of them say, oh, it means it's a definite article. It's pointing to the next thing. Okay, that's whatever they want to say. And it's true, because the Bible says in Revelation, Yeshua identifies himself as the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. Okay? Yeshua says, I'm the what? Alpha and Omega. That is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. Now, he could have said, I am the A and the Z.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first and last letter of the English alphabet. But when Yeshua spoke to Paul, the Bible says he spoke to him in Hebrew.
Amen.
Paul said, I heard him speaking to me in the Hebrew tongue. He put that in his word. Because Yeshua speaks from heaven, he doesn't speak in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. So when he spoke to John, what do you think he spoke to John?
Hebrew.
Alright? So when he spoke to John, he told him, John, what? I am the Aleph, which is the first, and the Tav, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph and the Tav. That's the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Alrighty? A big mystery to rabbis has been the Aleph and the Tav. And a lot of them said that that's the mark of the Messiah. Alright? So here you come. Here comes Yeshua in the revelation of Yeshua. What does revelation mean? Revealing who he is, right? In the revelation of Yeshua. He says, I am the Aleph and the Tav. Well, where's the first place you see the Aleph and Tav in the Bible? Right here. Guess what? The first time it appears, please grab hold. Those that have ears to hear. All right, that's in here. All right? The first time that the Aleph and Tav appears, all right, in the Bible is right here in Genesis. It is the first, it is the fourth word that appears in the Bible. So it appears on the fourth word. It rises, it raises, it suddenly appears on the fourth word of the Bible. Not the third, not the first, not the... No, it's the fourth place. Fourth day. Guys, what happened on the fourth day of creation? Suddenly, God decides to create the sun. But wait a minute, it was already light. But that light was never identified.
Mm.
The source of that light was never identified. He just said, let there be light. I told you before, that comes from him because God is light.
Right.
That's why Yeshua says he is the light of the world. And then the Bible reads about he's the light of men and the light of life. And all that. That's who he is. And suddenly those that sat in darkness, light has appeared. The Bible says again, arise, what? Shine. Why? For your light has come. Wait a minute. What do you mean, arise and shine? What do we talk about? That's because you were in darkness, you were dead.
Amen.
And you have to be arisen. There's that shofar sound speaking, telling you to rise.
Amen.
All right? Saying, let there be light. What did it do? It raises us up. And then what do? We shine. How do we shine? Wait a minute. What are you saying, shine? Why? Because your light is coming. Wait a minute. I thought I was shining.
Mm.
So we don't shine on our own. Our light that has come causes us to shine, reflecting him because it's his light.
Amen.
I hope you got that, and I hope that made sense. That is a picture of stars. All right, we'll get to it in a moment. All right, so here we are on the fourth word. Can't help but think about what happened on the fourth day of creation. Well, God says, There's the Son. All righty? To rule over the what? To rule over the what?
The day.
All right. To rule over the day. To rule over the day. We're going to get there in a minute. Now, listen. He said to rule over the day. Well, do you know that you didn't get that title of day until after you came out of darkness? You didn't get a name change until after the tribulation. After the struggle, that's when you get your name changed. You're going to see that in a moment. You used to be darkness, but now you're light. The Bible tells you that. You used to be children of darkness. Now you're children of light. He even calls you children of the day. He actually says that, Paul does. All right? So what is going on here? Well, this is your story. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
Amen.
You were in darkness, but now you can be resurrected. That's who Yeshua said, I am the resurrection and the life. This is so awesome to me. All right? I enjoy him. His word is this, man, I wish it could just go everywhere. All right? But this is what he is and who he has called you and I to be. Alrighty? Children of him.
Amen.
Offspring of him. Reflecting him. Repeating him. Alright? So again, what happened on the fourth day of creation? There is a son.
Amen.
I think it's Malachi that says, correct me if I'm wrong, the son of righteousness. S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
Son up there, not S-O-N. It says, the S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness shall
arise.
What?
Arise
with what?
Healing
in his tani, his titi. All right? So again, the Son of, well, rabbis would look at that, and they would look at other passages in the scriptures, and guess what they would say? Messiah must be getting, well, what's going to come in the 4,000th years. Well, guess what? He came 4,000 years after Adam.
Amen.
He came. Did you hear that? He came on the fourth day. Well, it's right here in Genesis. I tell the end from the beginning. The whole Moses and all the prophets, it's all about me, says Yeshua, remember?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about him. But you have to see him. He has to, like he said, those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, let them see and hear. All right? So, again, he's right there.
Amen.
His Messiah's first coming, guess what, is right there. Yes, absolutely. Praise Abba. Glory to Abba. All right? Look at what it says. Bereshit, in the beginning, bara created Elohim, God, et. No translation. Hashemim, the heavens, va et. That's va. Oh, that's like and. That's where you get the word and, but not the x. No translation. So it's just that va. And then it says, ha ares, the heavens.
Amen.
I mean, I'm sorry, the earth. All right? So you see on the fourth, there's Messiah. Also on the sixth. And I love that that va is right there, because that's showing at the end of the sixth. All right? Going into the seventh. What is this talking about? Again, here's Messiah's first coming. Here's Messiah's second coming. All right? You can see Messiah's second. Well, that might confuse you. I'm not going to go in there. All right? But you can see he has two appearances in this seven words or 7,000 year period. All right? Or 7 days. Okay? You see him twice right here and then at the end right here. Going into the what? Seventh world, 7,000th year. Alright? This is again marks of Messiah, the Aleph and the Tav. Yeshua said, I am the Aleph and the Tav. And you see him right here. You see him right here. Now there is another thing I have, but I don't want to get too much into that because I want to get this done so I can erase this board. So again, we see Messiah. There's a lot more, guys, alright? For example, the seven words. They equal out to be 28 letters. 28 letters. All right? If you add them up, it's 28 letters. Those are, we're talking perfect sevens here.
Mm-hmm.
Seven times what is 28?
Four.
You didn't say four again, did you?
Mm-hmm.
How can you get? Yeah, it's all in here. It's all right here. All right? The first Three words equal 14. All right? And the last four words equal 14. All right? Is he trying to tell us something with these seven words, the first words in the first seven words? Yes! I just showed you, it showed his first and second coming. All right? Seven is very important. You have the 7 days of the week. And what happens on the seventh day of the week? What did he do with the seventh day?
He blessed it.
He baruched it. He blessed it. He did what? He consecrated it. He set it apart from the other six.
Yes.
This is something that God has done. This is the only day, grab this, this is the only day that he blessed. He did not do that and set the other days apart. He set apart the seventh day. The Bible says, and he blessed it. Something else that will make your toes roll up like that wicked witch did. Roll up backwards. Is that when we read about the first day of the week, and then we read about what he did on the second day. In the evening and the morning was the first day. In the evening and the morning were the second day. In the evening and the morning, it's in your Bibles, was the third day. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. The evening and the morning were the fifth day. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. He never says it about the seventh day. He never puts the end, and the evening and the morning were the seventh day. Why is that not there? Doesn't it conclude? He's showing us eternity. Because immediately following this, you're right into the eighth. You're right into eternity. That's it. There will be no darkness. It's going to go straight into eternity. Do you think not that that's how quick it's going to be? Twinkling of an eye? Well, do you not think that that's everything's gone? Yeah, because there will not be a night in that seventh day. All right? Because he's going to instantly go into eternity after those, what, 1,000 years are over.
Amen.
All right? It's right there in Genesis. Look it up. You're going to see there is no evening and morning for the seventh day. Why did he not do that, Lynn? Because he's showing us it will instantly slide right into eternity. All righty? The eight represent eternity. Okay? All right? You turn eight on the side and you have that infinity sign as well.
Yeah.
Alrighty, much more to go into regarding this, but I want you to see a couple of things real quick, alrighty, regarding what Yah said, alright, about this olive and tav and things like that. I saw it, there's plenty of other places, but this one specific place I want to bring out. Yahshua again says that he is the olive and tav. We read Genesis and we see that God blessed the seventh day. And he set it apart. Something special about that day. We don't understand it. He does. Alrighty? I want to look at this real quick. This is Exodus chapter 20. Oh, look, here comes some good rain. He's sitting on the rain. He says he's going to give you rain. Remember that?
Amen.
Bad people, you're not going to get any rain. All right, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. All right, if you can go there real quick. All right. I want to be able to erase this board because we had it up here for 3 days, 3 weeks now. Okay, if you want to finish this. Exodus 20 and chapter 20. But what's important, I have to say this, because this is when God speaks to the masses for the first time. Okay? Exodus 20 and verse 1. What does that say, someone?
20 and 1.
Verse 1 right now.
God.
Yeah, that's important right there. Alright? Because this is him speaking to mixed multitude. Israel and those that have faith and put blood on their thing and came out with them. The Bible says a mixed multitude came out. He didn't separate them. He's speaking to all of them that came out by the blood of the Lamb. See right there is, again, powerful words. Multitude came out by the blood of the Lamb. And that's exactly what Yeshua is.
Amen.
That's who he is. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All right? And a mixed multitude of us have come together. All right. So what did that say? God said what? God did what? Spoke all these words. Folks, when God begins to speak certain first time things like this, this is the first time he's done it in a multitude like that. All right? Pay attention to what he's saying right there. Now look what he says.
God spoke these words. That's why they're emphasizing it. And God spoke these words. All right? Look what it says.
I am the Lord thy God.
Listen.
Which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt.
Stop. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't identify himself as the great and powerful, this, that, and the other. He's again doing the same thing he did in Genesis 1. He says, let there be light. He says what? I am the God that delivered you, that brought you out.
Amen.
First thing he's saying, I am identifying myself as the one who saves.
Amen.
Joshua?
Amen.
The God who saves? Yah is our salvation? Absolutely, that name has been established. That's why the angel said, no, call him this. This is not some brand new name. This name has already been established right there from Genesis. That's why the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
And the Word was there with God. The Word was God. Yahshua. Yah saves. That's why he said, let there be light. Where? In that darkness, in that slavery, in that bondage, all of the above. Alright? So he says what? I am the God who delivered you. That's how he starts off describing himself. Which is what he actually did. All right? So he's doing it again right there. All right? Jump down to 8.
You remember the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
To keep it holy.
All right. Now here we are.
That's
Exodus. Exactly. You jumped my gun, but that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. And again, like I said, you have the olive and tav on the fourth word. Guess what? The Olivet Tav is there on the fourth commandment.
Amen.
Alrighty? It just happened to be the fourth commandment? Alright, watch what happens here. What about think about the menorah. Alrighty? You know the menorah has 7 branches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what holds all the branches together? The fourth one. The one right in the middle. Did you grab that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Guess when Yeshua was supposed to be crucified? On the fourth day of the week,
Amen.
On a Wednesday, and that's when he was crucified.
Amen.
All right, Daniel talks about middle of the week. Where in the middle? Right there on the fourth day.
Amen.
All right? Keep going. All right, here we go. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 in Hebrew. Zakor et Yom HaShabbat LeKodesh. All right, now watch what this says. Remember, speak in favor of guard. All right? Zakor, Hebrew. Remember day the Shabbat. Our Bibles go like this. Remember the Sabbath day. I'm sorry. Yeah. To keep it holy. All right? But again, Hebrew, Zakor, or remember, Olive and Tav. Yom, which is day. Ha, the Shabbat. It's all one word, though. All right. The Shabbat. Le Kodesh, to holy. All right. To keep it holy. All right. So, the element of is. All right. Well, who is the element of? Well, when you realize that that's Yeshua, watch what happens when we talk about the Sabbath. Whose it is. Look what it says. Remember the Olivet Tav day, the Sabbath, to keep it holy. In other words, remember Yahshua's day to keep it holy. Shabbat is Jesus' day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sunday, brothers, where are you? This is his day. This is his thing. He's the Olivet Tav. Go right to Revelation in the New Testament.
Yeah.
He says, I am the Olive and the Tav. It's right there. Alright? So Shabbat is his. Holy. Isn't that interesting? That doesn't make any sense to you. Why? Because that's saying God has a holy day.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? God got a holy day. What are you talking about? Isaiah 58, please. Isaiah 58, please. What is God? What do you mean to? Yeah. He set it apart in Genesis. Alright? He blessed it. He set it apart. It is something special. Why? I would call it special too. If I had a date when I'm going to be with my bride, then I know this is that day. Yeah, that day is going to be special all the way up until that day comes.
Amen.
All right? That's what this is about. When I know, hey, we're going to have a big reunion or something special, it's going to be, yep, you're going to be there. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait for that. And of course, you put it all throughout the Bible. There's a plethora of places that talks about this. Isaiah 58, yes?
Yes.
Okay, and please read verses 13 through 14. This is God speaking, okay? If thou turn your... What? What does that mean? Your foot must be on the Sabbath as if it's nothing. It's under your feet. It's, that's no big deal. Your foot is on it. But he says, do what? Turn your foot away from the Sabbath. Get your foot off my Shabbat. It's not something to be trampled underfoot.
Right.
Are you grabbing the purpose of him saying that?
Yes.
It's important. It has meaning. It has purpose. All right? It's not just something you just throw away and say, oh, that's done away with. No, that's a lie. Yeshua even said, don't think that I've come to do away with anything in the Torah. He said, heaven and earth will pass away first. So if you do like this, stuff your foot, guess what? Earth is still here.
Amen.
So guess what? His Torah is still in full effect.
Amen.
Alrighty? So he says, if you turn your foot away from my Sabbath, what else? Just taking it like it ain't nothing. You're looking forward to the next day, Sunday. Right? What happens? And call the Shabbat. Listen to God's heart. He knew what we were going to be doing. He knew that. See, we don't call Shabbat a delight. We call Sunday a delight. That was the day to live for. Oh, I can't wait for you. Sunday. The Lord's Day. It's amazing. That's so wrong. He has never classified Sunday as his day, ever. The only day he's ever did that classified a specific day to is Shabbat, the seventh day. All right? He says, do what? If we call what?
The Sabbath
of the light. What else? Call the Sabbath the Holy of Yahweh. And again, what is he doing? He says, God is calling the Sabbath the Holy of the Lord.
Amen.
Did you hear what he just said? Read that passage again. Call it a delight.
Call the Sabbath a delight, the Holy of Yahweh.
You see that?
Amen.
You see that? Call it the Holy, call it what? Honorable. But we have been such rebellious children. We established our own days, our own feasts, and just stamped them, Jesus. But the stuff that Jesus has given us, we reject. Oh, that's not for us. That's not for us. That is the enemy doing it again to Eve. No, this is what Yahweh said. What else did it say? Stop. Hold it. Did you hear that? I love that phrase. I'm like, wait, what? This shouldn't be it. But he just said, honor him. What is it? He's personifying the Shabbat and the person. And that, again, of course, it's Yeshua. He says he is the Lord of the Sabbath. So he is the Shabbat, actually. You know, his rest, that's who he is. All right? When we tabernacle with him, guess when we're doing it? The 7,000th year. Oh, man. That is going to be considered a Sabbath. Guys, you know that? We understand that, right? That's considered the Sabbath of all creation.
Hallelujah.
Because remember, 7,000 years. That 7,000 year is the Sabbath of all the previous six days or 6,000 years. Day with the Lord does 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day.
Amen.
All right? So again, the Shabbat is a reflection, is a picture of our rest in Him.
Amen.
It's a thing that happened. It's a thing that's happening. And it's a thing that will happen.
Amen.
Alrighty? It's a beautiful, beautiful, amazing picture, guys, of what the Master is doing for us. Alright? And has done for us. Alright? Please read again that little part and continue.
Okay. The Sabbath, we call the Sabbath a delight.
Yep.
And the Holy of Yahweh honorable and shall honor Him.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing thy own way.
Mm-hmm. Well, what have we done? We found our own pleasure Sundays. We found our own delight Sundays. You know, we speak our own word Sundays. Or some people say, oh, any day. No.
Mm-hmm.
You're contradicting the Creator when you say that.
Right.
Oh, we can do anything. No, and don't put that on Paul either. Trying to say, well, Paul said a day is anything. No. Then why did Paul, in the writing, say, and Paul went in there on the Sabbath as his custom was?
Right.
You know? And when he went and spoke to those people on that Sabbath day about Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
he said, tell you what, remember, it's Saturday now, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, tell you what, you guys, this is over and over. Tell you what, you guys come back next week, next Shabbat, and I'll talk about it some more.
Amen.
If it was about Sunday, why didn't Paul say, just come over to our church tomorrow?
Right.
Just come to my church tomorrow. See, we have service on Sunday. That's the real thing. No, come back next Shabbat, because that has always been established. All right. That's why it really wasn't even discussed too much in the New Testament, because it's something you already did.
Mm-hmm.
All right? All right. So again, keep reading, please.
Okay. Day 14, then shall thou delight thyself in Yahweh.
What does it say? Then! When? Then! Grab hold of Shabbat. Grab hold of that. And this is what I said before. If you're doing Sunday and you think you're delighting in the Lord now,
mm-hmm.
you will see so much more of your acceptance level will go through the roof. Alright? When you grab hold of His truth,
amen.
Of His words, He promised it. Remember, mm-hmm. she's going to say it in a minute. Keep reading.
And will cause thee. Okay, then shall thou delight thyself in Yahweh.
Then.
Mm.
Wow! Did you hear that?
Yeah.
He's going to do it. What else? Keep going. Watch this. Did you see that? Did you hear that?
Amen.
Thus says the word of God, right?
Amen.
The word. Did you grab that?
Yeah.
The word of God. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That's Yah's word. He said, then I'm going to bless you with the heritage of Jacob. Note, your father. So he equates you, once you grab hold of Shabbat,
mm-hmm.
he equates you with Israel. You see that? He automatically associates you with Israel.
Amen.
Then, now you're a part of, you get the heritage. You see? Now you get the heritage. Now this is your family. Alright? And he says, your father, not your stepfather.
Amen.
You're not one of the others. You're just not one. No. You are physical Jacob's seed, children of Abraham. All right? Not spiritual. All right? The word is sperma. All right? Not spiritual. No, that's where you get the English word from, the sperm. All right? So, again, this is about physical.
Amen.
All right? As well as spiritual. All right? But you are the real Israel of God.
Amen.
Not the Israel of man. You don't want to be the Israel of man. That's not making it. That's not getting to any of those gates. That will not be reigning with Messiah for those 1,000 years. All right? You may be one of those outside. Maybe. But not a part of the main folks. All right? So, again, Yah says if you grab hold of His holy day. So God does have a holy day.
Amen.
Yeah.
My goodness. All right? And guess whose day it is? The Olive and Tav's day. Jesus' day.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people talking about how much they love Jesus. But the time when He says to come together, no. It's a picture of our freedom.
Amen.
Guys, it's a Shabbat. It's a picture of our freedom. Did you know the reason why He gave the Shabbat? One of the main reasons was is because to show that you were a slave in Egypt. He says, I'm giving you the Shabbat. Because you were a slave in Egypt. It's in Deuteronomy 5, I think. Alright? Does anybody know where that is? We talk about it a lot. Where's my
Let me write this. Let me pull this up
real quick, because I want you to see this. I show it all the time.
Deuteronomy 5 and 14 and 15.
What does it say? Read it real quick since you have it.
It says in verse 14 of Deuteronomy chapter 5, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh thy God, the Lord thy God.
No, again, it's the Sabbath of who? Yah.
The Lord thy God,
man,
Yahweh.
God's Shabbat. Olive and Tav. It's just you. Okay, go ahead.
In it thou shalt not do any work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your ass, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. In verse 15, remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that Yah, your God, brought you out from there through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, Yahweh thy God, the Lord thy God, commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
Did you hear that? You see it? It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. All right? So he's given us this amazing Shabbat. All right? A sign of our
freedom. Amen.
The Sabbath day. Well, what's the sign of our freedom in the 7,000 years? We're going to be with Messiah. There's the Shabbat. We're done with all that mess. All right? All right. Let's keep going here. All right? I want to grab hold of... Well, we don't have to look at this. I'll just tell you. Isaiah 46, please. Jump to Isaiah 46. Pardon? Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. What does that say, someone?
Remember the promises of old, for I am El, and there is no one else.
Mm-hmm.
I am Elohim, and there is no one like me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10.
Brandon. Declaring the what?
The end.
He declared the end from Bereshit, from the beginning. All right?
And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Amen. Again, why were things made? Mm-hmm. By him and for him. You see? It's all for his pleasure. All right? Okay, grab hold of Isaiah. I'm sorry. Grab hold of... let's go to Isaiah 44, because we're there. Isaiah 44, verse 6. And someone else grab 47, verse 4. First one is 44, verse 6, and then someone else be ready to read 47, verse 4. Alrighty. 44 and verse 6, who has that? You can go right here, sir. Thus
saith Yahweh, the king of Israel.
The who?
The king.
Remember they said that about Yeshua? Behold, Israel, here comes your king. All right. Here's God saying he is the king of Israel. What else?
And his redeemer,
uh-huh.
Yahweh of
hosts. Wait a minute. Read it again. The whole thing.
Thus saith Yahweh, the king of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And his redeemer,
uh-huh.
Yahweh of hosts,
uh-huh.
I am the first,
uh-huh.
And I am the last,
uh-huh.
And beside there is no Elohim.
Beside him there is no other God. All right. Did you just read and see what that said?
Yes.
It said, thus says Yahweh, your king, and his redeemer, Yahweh Sabaoth, or the Lord of hosts. Whoa, wait a minute, or it's getting starting to think it. But yeah, he said there is no one besides me.
Amen.
All right? We're human beings, guys. We cannot understand and grasp God, the concept. Nope. You know, he's at the beginning, yet he's already at the end, folks. Don't even try it. He says, I am that I am. I'll do and I'll be whatever I will be. That's who he is. All right. So again, he says, and his Redeemer. So he's classifying the Redeemer as Yahweh Sabaoth, which means the Lord of hosts.
God is fighting for us.
Exactly. That's his battling name.
Hallelujah.
When you're ready to fight, you'll always see Yahweh of hosts, or the Lord of hosts, or the Hebrew Yahweh Sabaoth. Alrighty? So let's jump to 47 and 4. Who had that one?
Our Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, get a King James ready, just in case somebody's reading differently. All right? Read it. Go ahead and read it.
Our Redeemer, the Lord Almighty is his name.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Holy One of Israel.
Okay. King James, someone?
And for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name.
Right there. There's
the
a difference. There's a difference. All right? It's Yahweh Sabaoth. Again, did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord of hosts. All righty? The Lord of hosts. Mm-hmm. There's his fighting name, once again, associated with what? Being your Redeemer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
And what did Yeshua come here to do? Fight for you.
Amen.
You see? He fought against Pharaoh for you. You see what's going on? The Pharaoh had a shackle sold under sin. Remember? All right? That's the whole purpose of the Exodus. Remember? Being freed from sin and bondage. And when did Yeshua die? Do that for us. Passover. When did they come out? Passover.
Amen.
All righty? So he's showing that's the fighting. He fought for us. And again, his name is Lord of Hosts.
Amen.
Jump over to Joshua chapter 5. Somebody, Joshua chapter 5. And somebody read real fast. Chapter 12 through 15.
Of Joshua.
Joshua chapter 5, verses 12 through. You're going to see this Lord of hosts standing right in front of Joshua. Ironic that Joshua's name is the same as Yeshua, Jesus. They're both the same exact name. So much so that the New Testament says Joshua put his name Jesus there. Because it says Jesus brought them out. Yep. But it's actually Joshua, but that's the name in Hebrew. They have the same name. All right. Anybody have it?
Amen.
Read it, please. 12 through 15, real fast.
And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land.
Yep.
Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore.
Right.
But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand.
There's this man standing there with his sword in his hand. Go.
And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Are you for us or for our adversaries?
Uh-huh.
Verse 14, and he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come.
Amen. Did you hear what he just said? He said, He is the Lord of hosts. He's the captain. He's the guy in charge of the hosts, of the armies of God. All right? My personal belief that that's Yeshua standing there. All right? And again, it's right after the manna ceased. That will be the same time, the 17th, when Yeshua rose from the dead. All right? Victory in his hands. All right? Is that it? 15?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
And Joshua fell on his face to the earth.
Watch.
And did worship.
This is why I know it wasn't an angel. Keep going.
And said unto him.
Notice he said, he began to worship. You see that?
Yes.
Note what the angel says. Go.
And said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15, And the captain of Yahweh's host said unto Joshua, Loose your shoe from off your foot.
Look at that.
For the place whereon you stand is holy.
Hallelujah.
And Joshua did so.
No, the angel didn't say, no, don't worship me. Yep, angels don't do that. They know better. All right, that was Yeshua, my personal belief. Mm-hmm. Who you want, doesn't matter. All right. Again, so Yeshua is the Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. All right, jump over to, we already know Yeshua says that he's the first and the last in Revelation, so we'll bypass that one, just like he said in Isaiah. All right, jump over to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 12. And please, real quick, because I want to get to this. Other thing. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 12, please. So again, we know that Yah has a day, doesn't he? It's the Shabbat, isn't it? Right? And there's another time that he says, his day, the day of the Lord shall come, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. You've heard that plenty of times, right? And what day is that always associated with? The end, when he comes back.
Yeah.
Well, when is he coming back? The seventh day.
Amen.
All right? So it's still associated with that seventh day. All right? That Sabbath. So the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord shall come, thick darkness, and the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. All right. So how many days of the Lord are there? There's one.
One.
Day of the Lord.
He's not going to come once and then come again and then another day, and that one's going to be titled something else. Well, this is the day of the, and this is the day of the, and this is the, no, it's going to be one time when he returns and cracks the sky. All right? Watch what this says. Isaiah 2 and 12, go.
For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty.
You hear that? So the day of the Lord of hosts. You hear it? So the day of the Lord is the day of the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
The day of the Lord of hosts is the day of the Lord.
Amen.
Alrighty, are we grabbing hold?
Yeah.
Watch and see who this day is. Keep going. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. So the Lord of hosts has a day.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Alright. Romans 2, 16. Yes, please. Romans 2, 16. Whoever has it, go for it.
In the
day. Go ahead.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
Again, what?
In the day.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
Again, once again, in the
day.
In the day when what? By whom?
By Jesus Christ.
So again, whose day is this going to be?
The Lord's
day.
It's
the day of the Lord. It's the day of Christ. It's the day of Messiah. It's the Al-Gentile's day.
Amen.
All right, give you some more. 1 Corinthians, please. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. Anybody have it, please read it.
Who shall also confirm you in secret men that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ?
So, blameless in the day of who?
Our Lord.
The day of Messiah, the day of Christ. What day is that? The day of the Lord. Alrighty? This is his day when he comes, when you see him cracking the sky. All right? And I'm not going to go into a lot of those scriptures, but you already know those. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6.
Being confident of this,
mm-hmm.
that he who began a good work in you,
hallelujah,
all on to completion until the day of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Did you hear that? Say it again, please. Let's read it again.
Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. All the way. Alrighty. He started, he will finish it. All the way up until when? The day of Messiah. So Shabbat, the day of the Lord, is Yeshua's day.
Amen.
That's why he went in there when he read, when they called on him to read the scripture from Isaiah. He says, this day, he read all these things about freeing people. There it is again. Freeing people from bondage and all that. There it is again, Genesis. Alright? He says, he read all the way up to a certain spot, and then the Bible says he closed the book. Because that represented his first coming, what he's going to do to help people. All right? The rest of that verse, because it doesn't stop, but he abruptly stopped. Mm. It continues on and starts talking about the vengeance of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See, but that's not what he was, that's not his purpose for that time. That's later. All right? And of course, he will fulfill that too, because that's the one who's coming. All right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2.
That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand.
Amen. Read it once again.
That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand.
And again, he's talking about the day of the Lord is at hand. All right, he says, don't be all shaken thinking that it's right now. All right, but note what they called it, the day of Christ. All right? So again, it's all about Messiah. What did he say? It's all about me. Yeah. I am written in the whole scroll. It's of me. Yeshua said, beginning with Moses and all through the prophets, he expounded them everything concerning himself. The whole story is about Messiah. And guess who's the stars of this whole story? You guys.
You and I.
You guys are the stars of this production. Mm. Alrighty? And note, when you think about a star, what do you think of?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of? When you think about a star, you know, those people, TV, you know, what do you think of? Somebody say cool? Did somebody say cool? Huh? Oh, you're a movie star. When you think of a movie, you see a movie star, whoever, any movie star, you, oh, wow, oh, and everybody, ooh, everybody's going crazy. Ooh, wow, they want to take a picture. Ooh, oh, look, at, oh, look, can I have your autograph? You know, all this. Ooh, where are such and such? I want to go see them. Oh, I'm, ooh, oh, they're worshipped, they're idolized, they're looked upon as greater than someone else. No, this is to grab hold of stardom. All right? Just look at, this is the process. This is something that's factual. All right? Because if somebody you like a lot said, hey, he's over here and they want to go out with you, you'll go with them. All righty? There's some guy. Okay? So, and there's some movie star. It's the truth. It was some guy. I'm going to make sure we talk about men and women, not men and men and women here. All right? So, making sure it's some guy. All right? So, anyway, yeah, you're going to, wow, this is such and such. Oh, wow. You know, they're adored, they're looked upon with, father, oh yeah, they get free passes, they get wherever they want, oh, such and such, what?
They're taking them.
Pretty much, you know, but anyway, they're held higher, they're stars, that's why they call them stars,
mm-hmm.
Alrighty, wow, alright, but you are the real stars.
Amen.
Now, here's the awesome part about it, like I said before, we're going to this, real stars shine in darkness.
Amen. Amen.
That's how, see, you need darkness in order to shine. To show and display who you are. Everybody else will burn out. You're not a shooting star. That's somebody that's temporary. It fizz out and then it's gone in the darkness. No. You want to be steadfast, unmovable. Alrighty? Founded on the rock. Alrighty? So, real stars shine in darkness. Let's get to that. Genesis chapter 1. Now I think we can finally move past this.
Genesis 1?
Yes. Genesis 1. And 1. I forgot to bring this out. Let me just share this with you. The first time Sabbath, the Sabbath is mentioned by title,
mm-hmm.
was Exodus chapter 23. Not when God gave it on Mount Sinai. Way before they got to Sinai, when God spoke, no, God had already established this. That's Exodus chapter 16, verse 23 and verse 29. Okay? Alrighty? Alrighty, you're welcome. Again, it says, Moses tells the children of Israel, the seventh day is the Sabbath. It's what God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
This is that Sabbath that I spoke to you about that God gave to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the Shabbat is something that God gave to those that came out by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? It is a gift from God. All right? If I gave you this, if this is mine, you see this?
Mm-hmm.
And I gave this to Mike, this is a gift I'm giving to Mike. I'm entrusting him with it. All right? That's the Hebrew word give. It's the Hebrew word netan. All right? Netan. Alrighty? And that means to give or bestow or entrust. Alrighty? I thought I wrote to bestow, to appoint, and I said that already, entrust or granted. Alrighty? That's the Hebrew word natan, which means to, when it says God has given it to you. Alrighty? The Sabbath. Alrighty? Why was I talking about that? Because I want you to see that this is something that belongs to God. And then if you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 17, can you grab that real quick? Genesis 1, 17. Real quick. And then we're gonna, so you got it? What does it say?
It says here.
Genesis 1, 17.
And God set them in the firmament of the heavens.
It's talking about the stars.
Light upon earth.
Yeah, you hear that? And again, what did he say? To do what? To give life upon the earth. So it's something that's given to you that was belonging to someone else, and it's given to you. Their light is giving light to you on earth. Okay? That's the word Nekah. Again, Genesis 1:29. The 29th verse. What does that say?
And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree.
All right, stop right there. Again, God is giving something to them. That's the same word, Natan, again, where he says, I'm giving you. Genesis 3:6. What does that say?
When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her.
Exactly. Gave to her husband. It was in her hand, and she gave it to her husband. Again, that's what God says when he says, I have given you the Shabbat.
Amen.
It's something from God to us that he can trust us and has given to us, man. This is not something that's to be thrown and just whatever. It's not a whatever day. It's a blessed day. It's something, a gift from the Most High himself. Okay? All right. I forgot to give that when we were talking about it. All right, back to Genesis chapter 1. All right. It says, in the beginning God created the heavenly earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God. Is the Spirit of God the same as the, you know, the Ruach of God?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Would you say that's the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit is doing this, right?
Yeah.
It's so amazing, man. But people don't know. All right, they think the Holy Spirit is something separate. All right, and the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters. All right, and God said, "What?" Here are His first words: "Let there be light." And guess what? There was light, and God did what? He saw the light. Again, that word "saw" is the number 7200, which is Ra'ah, which means He also
provided. Hallelujah! Yes,
light from light. You remember that, huh?
Amazing.
You're getting a token for that. You get the special. For real. That's for real. Yep. So, again, God provided the light because He is light. All righty? He is light. So, He gave some of Himself to us. Isn't that what He did when He gave us His Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Are we all walking around with some of Him in us?
Yeah.
Yet all of Him with us? You see that? Isn't that deep to think about? We don't just have a portion of God. We have all of Him. We have His Spirit in us. All right? This is amazing. All right. And God saw the light that it was what?
Good.
Oh, good. And God did what? Divided the light from the darkness. Here comes separation. Here it comes. All right? He separated the light from the darkness. Look what happens. And God did what? Call the light what?
Day.
And like I told you guys before, turn to somebody and say, hello, day.
Hello, day.
Again, that's what happened. Why? Note what happened here. You didn't, grab this, this is important. You did not get your name, your title, your new name until after the struggle. You see, you were once, you were in darkness, but after you came out, then you get the name change. Because you're no longer that what you used to be.
Right.
Behold, you are a new creature, right? And guess what? I have a name that I'm going to give to you. Isn't that interesting? That he didn't call it autonomy. He says, after he divided, then he called the light what?
Day.
Then he gave you the name change. This is our whole story, by the way, guys. Real quick. I'm going to just do this real quick. And the earth, you, were without form and void. And what? Darkness. There it is. Was upon the face of what? The deep, or the water. That's what you are. The Bible even associates people with water. Okay? Revelation talks about it. The deep and all of that. I'm not going to give you scriptures right now for time. All right? And then what happened? Here comes the Holy Spirit moving upon us.
Amen.
While we were in darkness. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. He began to move upon our lives. Drawing, that's to him. What? Right? And then what happened? And God said what? Let there be light right here. Yep. Therefore, he called us children of light. The Bible is replete with calling us children of light. We used to be children of darkness. Now we are sons of light. And then God says what? He stamped you good.
Mm.
He stamped you told.
Thank you, Lord.
And then he gave you a new name. He gave you the name Day. That's why I call you children of the Day in the New Testament. This is deep because you know what? Jump over to Isaiah 62. It's so deep because if you read verse 5, it says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And it's actually echad. It's like echad. It's like eternity. That's like round together. It's like a unity type of thing. And like I said, this is a picture of the end right there. All right? That's our whole story. Down to the separating us. Gathering us together and all of that, separating us from the world, separating us from evil, all this, this whole story of our salvation. Alrighty, what does Isaiah 62 and verse 2 say?
And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name.
A what name?
A new name.
Oh, you're getting a name change. Yes. Well, what do you know about that? No, this is the end, folks. What he's been talking about right here is the end time. All right. Which what?
Which the mouth of the Lord shall name.
All right. So who is this new name coming from? It's not going to come from evangelist, elder, prophet. This, no. Uh-uh.
No.
No. It's going to come from the mouth of Yah himself. Amen. He knows. He says, like he said, the stars, I know these stars, and I call them by name. Folks, the pictures of us. He even said that. Look up, and you're going to see it's going to be like the stars in the sky, equating us with stars. All right? Jump to Revelation. Isn't it deep to know God has a name? Maybe he's going to give you a name.
That's beautiful.
It's not going to be Shakuka. It's Shakuka. None of that. It's going to be
Mustafa.
There's going to be some name that he has for you.
Amen.
Now watch how awesome and powerful this name is. What? That he has for you. Read Revelation 2 and verse 17. Some people didn't even know this is here, but you guys should know because I talked about it before.
Yes.
Revelation 2, 17. What does that say?
He that hath an ear, let him hear.
Yes.
But the Spirit saith unto the assembly, to him that overcometh, I would give to eat of the hidden manna.
First of all, what's the prerequisite? You got to overcome. Again, what did the darkness do? When he spoke into that darkness, he said, let there be light. And what happened? They've overcame. They turned. They heard the word, and they said, hey, I'm going to live. I'm going to respond to this word. And guess what? The darkness became light.
Amen.
Did all the darkness? No. The darkness comprehended the night. That comprehended the light not. They didn't comprehend the light. They couldn't even comprehend the voice. All right? But some heard that sound, like you and like I. We heard his voice, and we responded when his spirit moved upon us. All right? So who was reading that? You. Okay.
And we give him a white stone, and in the stone, a new name.
A what?
A new name.
You're going to get a new name. Only the overcomers will get this. All right? What else does it say?
Written which no man knoweth, saying he that receiveth it.
All right. So, again, this is a secret name. So, don't think that some dude might be doing Torah and all this. Know your new name. And don't let folks give you no new name either. Some people are doing that, man. I'm like, what in the world is going on? What's wrong? Folks are losing their minds, for real. All right? If you want to look at the your name that you have right now, and then look at the Hebrew version of your name. That's perfectly fine. But no, now I'm talking about somebody, you know, her name is Betsy or something like that. I can't use Betsy because that might go back to Beth, which means vague or house. Some weird name, and then they're going to go to some place and suddenly, you know, oh, I'm going to change your name. Your name is going to be this. And then they give you some Hebrew name. All right? No, please, just hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
He whiz. That's why I'm sharing this with you, because I know that spirit of evil is out there and he's messing up so many folks.
Yeah.
People are losing their mind. Why? Because this is some truth that people are grabbing. The Torah is truth, so the enemy got to come in quick and try to mess it up and twist it. All right? And that's exactly what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Folks are going crazy. I can't believe some of the mess that people are following. But anyway, that's why I always say some folks are better off in Sunday church. They're better off than ever hearing Torah, man, because they grabbed this and gone crazy. All right? So what was that? That was Revelation 2? Yep. Yeshua got a secret name too. Everybody was like, oh, I got another name. Jehovah Shai, Haya, and all these other things are going nuts. He's going to do it. It's so crazy. It's so bad. All right? Look what Yeshua said. Look what Yeshua said in chapter 3, verse 12.
Of Revelation.
Yes, Revelation.
3 and 12.
Yep.
Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall no more go out. And I will write upon him the name of my God,
mm-hmm.
and the name of the city of my God,
Here it comes.
New Jerusalem,
uh-huh.
which comes down out of heaven from my God.
Here it comes.
And I will write upon him my new name.
Hold on.
Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Yah. Yes,
thank you,
name.
Yah. Hallelujah.
All right. That's why I said, he won't need, we talked about this before.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hold on, that's okay. But listen. The name Yeshua will not be needed. Its purpose and time is now for salvation. That's why the Bible says when the new heaven and new earth comes, we won't need nobody to teach me the Lord, because that's for the lost. We won't need Yahweh's salvation when we're here with him. That's why he's going to have a new name. See what? Yeah, we're not going to, it's not going to be new. Why do I need Yeshua's that name? Yahweh saved. No, you're saved. Now that's why it says I got a new name. Remember, this is only the overcomer. So this is the end time, sweetie. This is not now that new name is going to be used. No. That's going to be afterwards. When he returns, you're going to hear a brand new name for him. Now, it may already be some other name, but it's not going to be Yeshua, because that's given for salvation. That's why the Bible says, no, call his name Yeshua. Why? For he shall save his people from what? Their sins. See, we won't need salvation from sin anymore. Sin is gone. You see? So it's something new he's going to be doing. So be ready for it. All right. Be ready for it. Don't try to figure it out, because nobody ever knows that. Not even a hint of his name, whatever his new name is. We have no clue. No, not even a hint of it. So don't waste your time trying to investigate that. All right. So anyway, we'll find it out then. Lastly, jump over, please, to Genesis chapter 32 and verse 28. The overcomers get the name changed. Didn't we just read that?
Yes, Genesis 32.
Yep, he gave us a hint for Jacob. See, this is so deep. Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. He's showing Jacob, because Jacob is Israel. It's so deep for how he's playing this game on us. You know? He uses Jacob. Why? Because Jacob represents all of Israel. And what does he say in verse 28?
He said, my name shall be called no more Jacob.
Yeah? See that? What is that saying? Why? Because there's the over. Because Jacob overcame the struggle. Remember, but that was God. How is he struggling? He said, well, who controls all of this? We just read that. All things are made by him and for his purpose. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All right? It's all for a purpose. The struggle, the tribulation, all of that is for God's purpose. All right? I personally think it's for shaking the tree to see who's really founded on the rock. How long are you going to endure? Are you going to still hold on? Miss, or because you didn't get taken up out of here before the tribulation, are you going to turn your back on God? You see, this man, no. I don't want to spend time on that. Anyway, you get the name change after the struggle. That's what, and there's more to it, but I'm going to stop because we wanted to go into the scripture about the stars and all of that. But anyway, you get the name change, guys, after your tribulation, after your struggle. Mm-hmm. All right, he showed us in Jacob. He showed us in the beginning. We're going to tell you in the beginning. He showed us when the darkness was out there. He said, let there be light. He showed us when he said, and then the light he called day. Gave him a new name. All right? You remember reading that? All right? That's the same principle as getting the name changed after the struggle. There was one other important thing. I can't think of it. It'll probably come up later. Ultimately, just like when he placed the stars in the sky, stars are designed to shine where? Ultimately, in trouble. Mm-hmm. We show forth the king's glory when we are in a darkened spot. Mm-hmm. When we are walking around. It's so awesome. It's so obvious, guys. He showed us so many ways to see who we are. When we're struggling, we're in a low valley, all right? What most of us do, we do this. We look down. But he tells us to lift up your head.
Hallelujah.
Look up. Why do you look? Because that's where true stars shine.
Yeah.
You are a star. A true one will shine in the darkness, not fizz out. We don't fizz out in our struggles. We get brighter. We shine in our situation, darkness. We shine. And again, that's the glory of God on display. So when we're going through things, why has he called us to? Because we said we will shine in darkness. We said, use me, Lord, here I am. We said, we'll do it and send me. We did all of that talk. All right? So when trouble comes our way, folks, remember, we're supposed to be shining in darkness. Don't, your place is not down there. Don't look down. Look up. Why? Because you're seated in heavenly places, not down in the valley.
Amen.
He says, you are what? Seated where?
In heavenly.
Heavenly is up. So look up. Don't look down. You look up to stars.
All right.
Never mind. That's why I said, what do you do about stars? They all look up to them, right? You're the true stars. And what do we do when we look up there? We see you. Stars, all right? So again, God bless you. You are stars designed to shine in darkness. I hope you were able to glean something out of today. We can finally erase this board. All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Next week, again, Torah will be read. Either one word or the thing, whatever you want. Bye.